every indicator tells us it's going to. That issue is done. I would hate like hell to be on the other side. I don't know what I'd be trying to build a campaign strategy around, or what I'd be trying to do it with.
I understand. Because I think there is a tremendous and of demand out there, and I think when that starts rolling, it starts multiplying, and when it starts multiplying, it's going to go like hell.
Every indication, you know,
now when it starts to show that, I don't think it may not be this month, maybe not next month, but it's going to come.
Has to, with the savings as high as they are.
Sure, it's going to take some monumental factor to stop it from happening at some point. It's amazing it hasn't really moved farther, faster than it has.
Well, every poll, every little dinky poll, regional poll, city poll, state poll,
it's people all... It's on housing again, nothing else. Just the housing. We build all those housing units, you've got to put rugs on those floors, you've got to put chairs in there, you've got to have an icebox in every kitchen, and a dishwasher now, today, and then an automatic range, and you got all that stuff that just has to go on. A couple television sets, half a dozen radios.
Yeah, that's two million homes. A hell of a lot. That's a big market.
People are going to replace their cars, as sure as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Competition's starting to crank. The car dealers are cranking up now.
Are they?
Yeah, you hear the radio ads now. They're all saying, don't get stuck with a lousy 71. We'll give you a 72 at 71 prices. This kind of stuff.
Well, finally, the maybe businessmen there down, and it's about time they start to be a little bit more competitive.
And they'll cut their profits. They're going to start going for volume. They recognize there's a big buying power there. They put it down and, make $10 a year.
I thought so in some way, though, we may have to crack this entry great thing, I think.
Well, that's a realistic, you mean psychologically?
No, well, I...
Because realistically, it's all right anyway.
They're moving down some, not as much as they should. The bankers are... A lot of people are still betting on the bankers, but
inflation. Yeah.
Now, they're absolutely right that the money supply being what it is, the demand for money being what it is, there's no damn reason for interest rates to be where they are. They're only there because people aren't loaning money because they're betting on inflation. I mean, they're loaning the money, but they're putting it at the higher interest rates because they're building in the inflation in it.
Well, now, whether they don't loan it,
we could find a way to kick the bankers. I have very little confidence in bankers, either domestic or international.
If anything, less than in businessmen.
Yeah, oh, much less. The businessman basically is more of a, the banker is a soft-headed bastard who's sitting in there, in a job in any place, say, cold and greedy.
Very narrow. Very
narrow. They're the most, you ever attend the bankers' convention?
Yes.
They're the most narrow, miserable bunch of bastards. Crow that you can ever meet. The people that go into banking are a sad lot.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. And, it'll start coming in. I hope for early Art Schultz to say it does. He's hanging on to the last. He said we were doing the right thing. Too bad we have to do this. He's right. We were doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to come anyway. That's what I think we have going for us. See, I am not of a view that this new policy is what they're going to make all this.
No.
Nah. This new policy was necessary from a psychological standpoint on the economy. Point one. Second, the new policy in our terms was very important. From a leadership,
central leadership.
Man, there were to be a big gun out and handle the jail already. I mean, maybe that's leadership. Anything. That's what they need.
And there's a third point.
The balls there. The balls.
That's right. And there's a third point, and that is that when the good results start coming in, it's because of what you did.
Oh, shit. That's right.
And
it won't be because of the economy.
It's not true that it is, but people will think that's what
it
is. If there are any good results, Chuck, we're going to brag.
You get all the benefits. And if there had been good results before, it would have been, well, we would have had these a year ago if the president had done something about it. I mean, it would, anything that comes good now.
You guys have made a very good point.
That's the advantage of the sweeping move as to the...
Well, it is, and it's the advantage of being up front. And if prices come down, it's because you...
Internationally, of course, despite the netpicking from abroad, when I'm netpicking, it's a little... But internationally, your Vandalin constituents, you'll find abroad. we really needed it there. You needed a new bargaining position.
Well, that's worked. You've come out awful well.
That's the giving away all the chips line. God, that's
people
horrible.
Remember that, don't they?
Oh.
Well, yeah,
it's dozens of times.
Even kids understand that.
Yeah, everybody.
Kids play games, you know. They give everybody a stack of chips, like in a Monopoly game or something. And you just give everybody else your money.
That's the thing my family was talking about. That's by the chips, you know. It's vivid and it's illustrative and they understand it, and that had a hell of an impact.
When Graham came through the standing line, an old man came through the line, I'd say, oldie, perhaps a god. After overview research,
you call that an old man.
Well, you know what I mean? It's not a young people. And Billy says, you know, you often ask me where I got all those stories. I said, all this fellow does is give me stories to put in my talks. Now, there must be, in that great big research shop over there, one person who loves little stories. You know, it's frankly a button-down Jamie Hume.
Yeah.
I can't emphasize too strongly about this in every damn speech I've made, that what people remember, you start, what the hell do they remember about that speech? They remember little stories, they remember the story about the chips, right? Mm-hmm. They maybe remember the De Gaulle quote, because it was an unusually...
Story about your father at the Labor Day speech.
And the story about my old man working on the Labor Day.
And the letters you received from people.
The letter I received from the person abroad, from the person in Texas.
Right on.
And, but it's the little stories, it's the illustration that people love.
I still hear people talk about your mother. I mean, that the family story is very, very
well, that's good. It's
because everybody thinks of it. I mean, yeah. At least at our age, you think of your own mother and father, things they did to you.
So what we have, there are other great stories or stories, the whole, but you just go back and just take somebody that'll read history enough, read the mail enough. God, the mail is rich in stories. God damn it, I used to get virtually all of my illustrations that I used when I was, get all my own work as a senator and congressman out of my mail. I read the mail then, and I answered it myself. And God, I said, that's a hell of a thing. So I'm using an illustration. I got a letter from a woman who said, this guy didn't believe me.
When it is, God.
But why don't they?
You thought through it.
I think we have it. I don't think we have it done, but I said, you've got a hand for it now, huh? She said, good little woman.
Well, see, we've got a better guy handling the mail now, too. We've got a promotion-minded guy rolling out here. It's other than we got on the mail, set it on account, and I think that's going to make a difference. And then Roland will see.
Good.
Be much more aggressive in looking for opportunities. Noble, as a State Department type, was superb at making sure it was graciously responded to. So
right.
They didn't have a diddly shit idea of what to do with it other than that.
That's right.
Yeah, they've been pulling some good stuff out of the mail lately.
But then I'm feeding enough of it to the president.
But what I want is, for example, in every speech, instead of my having to search my damn mind for some, you know, some anecdote to put in, they should submit to your form.
And what they worry about then is that the press will snicker and say, Jesus, the president's got his mail bag out again, and nothing could be better.
Yeah.
If every public appearance you make, you said, you know, I've got a little, every time you got up to talk, you see that line, I've got a letter here, throw it away.
Oh, they'll say, no, he's very sorry, he's being cornered. Who is the greatest storyteller in American political history?
Abraham Lincoln.
God, yes. Story, story, story. I remember, he says, and that reminds me of this, he says this, you remember after the Gettysburg Address, it wasn't speech, but he was saying, and he was disappointed, so he said to his biographer, he said, you know, I'm afraid that speech won't scour. And what he meant by that is that that's a colloquial term plow, plowing in a wet field, will not throw the mud off. When the mud sticks to the plow, then it doesn't scour. I don't think that speech will scour. But my point is, you've got to use colloquialisms, you've got to use expressions. The difficulty with most of the things that are, you see in the later thing, what I used about my father, I had lived, and stuff like that. But what the hell do people remember about that speech? Now that, the point was well written about the dignity of work and all the rest. That everybody thought, oh, you first said. But what do people remember about it? They remember that my father was a carpenter, and an oil worker, a driller, and a streetcar motorman, and a farmer. That they remember, right? But they may not remember that it's about the dignity of work. Different things.
But they
associate the thought. She said about the dignity of work because you're reading someone else's skin.
And they know that you don't think that any job is too menial, it is only menial not to accept work. And that, there are 80 million people who work.
And they're broke it like that. Well, yeah, you know,
you can't let you.
He just had to say that. His constituency voted for crying out loud those programs. Do you notice the District of Columbia welfare gone up 52%? Hell, that's the way we run this state, huh? What the hell's the matter with us? Why do we let them come in here and pick up their welfare checks? There's only 2% unemployment in the city of Washington.
That's the thing I never can understand.
There's 2% unemployment in the city of Washington. And all kinds of jobs are going begging, I'm sure, for household work and the rest.
True.
And there are more welfare. Now, what's trying to get household help here? What in the hell is the trouble? I mean, who is in charge of this? Let's put somebody in there. But the same reason for paying for around here, you welfare thing. Don't come pick their checks up. Don't you agree?
I agree to the point that I just sold my home in the district because I see the handwriting on the wall 5 years from now. You won't be able to afford the district.
Taxes?
Well, they've doubled. The income taxes have doubled.
Income taxes?
Gone from 5 to 10%. And you can see the trend with welfare.
All that didn't scare them up where they are everywhere else.
Well, I know, but...
Well, anyway.
No one wants to do that.
Anyone in crisis, anyway, that's what I say. Yeah, the district used to, we all used to register our cars and everything else in the district because of...
It used to be great home. Yeah. It
is. We have a situation that we expect. I can't emphasize too strongly the need for anecdotal material. As far as the others are concerned, how they used to. Johnson used to hand out, but he did it in such a gross way. He pulled a goddamn letter out, read the whole thing. What are you doing? What you do is to take a little nugget, get it in your head and use it. And damn, that's effective.
Oh, you have a great knack for using that kind of thing.
You do it very simply.
Which is, if you can use it in an illustrative way, it is enormously effective. Every good minister is a storyteller. Norman Vincent Peale is a storyteller. Billy Graham is a storyteller.
Sure.
They're all great ministers are storytellers. What the hell? Look, read the New Testament. It's a collection of parables. And incidentally, they don't do it like our speech writers do. They don't write the parable, the transitional paragraph and all the rest. If you read the New Testament, you'll know it. He just starts out and tells, and the man went into a far country, There was a father with two sons, and Jesus came to a well, and the woman was there, we can try. And boy, did it sin. And that is the great weakness in present speech writing in this country, among at least the, what we call, our type of people, the intellectuals, our type of they, some way or other, they're self-conscious about it. Isn't that it, Ron? Aren't they self-conscious about anecdotes and stories and the rest?
Well,
I think it's an appeal to the emotions. Of course it is. What the hell do you think makes people move?
Your point, though, the overriding problem that we haven't left and maybe never will, is that they are unable to get away from writing for the written word as contrast to the spoken. They write speeches that read well, rather than speeches that talk well. And they do. You read your stuff, you know, in text form, most of it. Well, no, that is really true. A lot of it is pretty bad reading, too, because the impression is terrible. But the final product that they work to is a one that reads well.
That's right.
Where if you look at, and the classic example is your talk to those people over at the
State Department.
At the State Department. No, the Indian Treaty, yeah. That business consumer group. You read that and it doesn't
read well.
Read well. It's not something you would not allow us to take that and print it up in a booklet and send it off the way it was written. You'd want it edited for reading, for printing, which you're quite right. But it talks dang well.
Right. It's enormously effective.
And it uses some non-sentences, which you've got to do.
That's right. You don't do your drop sentences in. And you start them over. That's what you have to do.
You repeat. Yeah. You use sentences that don't have verbs in them.
Right.
That don't go all the way for a purpose.
That's right. But the point is, you can even, but there's a happy medium in between. As I said, there's a real need for a speech doctor. A speech doctor who goes over a speech and his reasoning in terms of frankly taking long sentences and breaking them down and bang, bang, banging things. And also a speech doctor in terms of taking a sentence where you've got a potential line, a material line, and lost, and rewrite it so that you make it sing.
Huh.
Now that's, I did a lot of work on this speech at the Congress myself. So we had Price to the base, and Price and Sapphire to the base.
That's true.
By the time I got through with the damn thing, I had now virtually every true line that wasn't in that dull subject. Huh. It was in there.
And then when you delivered it, you cut off a hell of a lot of two lines.
But, yeah.
But you could have been. Yeah, that's a pretty good technique. I agree.
I don't like to.
The best thing.
I always believe in stepping on true lines. I think it's very bad to let them dribble out or step fit it out there and wait.
Yeah.
The best thing about the personal stories, Mr. President, to the extent, I mean, you can't overdo it. You can do it once in a while very well, but is that people associate in their own experiences the same kind of, or their own background, the same kind of thing you're talking about. And that's a way they identify personally. There almost is no other way for people to do that.
But the letter from somebody does that kind of thing in a way too, because
yeah, it puts
the president brought that letter speech from that little girl up in New Hampshire was so good that he talked about it on the television.
Yeah.
Then yeah, that told the people that Bob, when you
made a mistake, I didn't say Anderson and Moore.
Oh, you did more on that.
Moore.
Right.
He can check letters and anecdotes. He's an anecdote man for excellence, and he's a good letter man. Also, you know, you can use great current anecdotes. You're going out and you're seeing crowds and people come up and little kids ask stories, say things and so forth. That's what I do in campaigns.
Mm-hmm. Of course, that's what Moore was quite good at, because he would find he follow lines and crowd comments and
things like that. See a sign along the
line so nothing happened.
Yeah, he's pretty.
Like to get a great gag, like when we were in Illinois right after, Indiana right after the wedding. One sign was that, Mr. President, you dance good. Well, I made a hell of a running gag about that police.
Yeah.
But nobody was sent to the shooting. You see what I mean?
Sure.
That's the kind of thing a lot of people look for. I'm busy shaking hands, but there must be a lot of that kind of stuff that I think. For example, when we have these people come in, and Morris probably the guy, don't you think? So he has dish of tea. I'm not my speech guy, they're awfully good.
Different advice for
effectiveness, is the start thing, like European uses, calling somebody a shocking name or something, you know.
Well, he's a different style. He couldn't pull off an anecdote very well.
No, he's formal.
Yeah, he's got that very stiff but very penetrating way. Although his humor lines have been better lately.
Humor?
He's damn good. Because he has good placement.
Well,
he
gets
by. He's great at timing. He's just superb at toast and that sort of thing. A few times I've heard him with it. He really is. He does it without a tax stamp and welcome you home and so forth. And that's damn hard to do. He's typically what you're. Another, of course, he has one advantage. He's got a hell of a lot more time.
Nothing else to
do.
No decisions.
He's got a lot else to do now. He's beginning, I think, to organize a little bit of his own constituency.
You think so?
A little bit. I wasn't able to get him to turn the F off. I couldn't get him to denounce or to decline the F support. I tried three times. Just kind of got put off. And I gather the report I got from Al Abrams at the Governor's Conference was he was lobbying the Governors very hard to get the line of communications back between him and the Governor. Oh, yeah, I know, but it was the article was a pretty accurate article.
Well,
we should have kept
it. He wouldn't pick it up. If he's picking it up now, so much the better.
He's fighting hard to get it back. He's written a resolution down there, which they'll present to you when they come in on Thursday.
For the Republicans?
The Republicans.
For the Governor's Conference. For the whole governors, to have him be liaison with the governors again.
That's what he's trying to.
The one thing I don't want him to do is to come up with that jackass idea of to start meeting with these Republican governors again. Now, I've wasted enough time with those dumb bastards.
Now, the answer to that is, you want to be the liaison with the governors, you meet with them.
That's right.
That's the way you build yourself.
Right.
You don't build yourself by being an appointment secretary to the president.
That's correct. I don't know whether they'll take it. I mean, will Reagan rock and roll or won't?
Well, no, in the Reagan will meet.
Reagan's got to mention us.
Well, those are special, kind of special cases anyway.
I don't think you want to. I think we want to hear all of Mr. Reagan and Ralph. I think you want to feel free to hear. And you just got to understand this.
I'm a slave of Reagan and Rockefeller and Van Damme.
Oh, I should say.
They stood up on everything.
Better than that.
They really have.
At times when it's been harder for them to do it.
Incidentally, the press, face the nation, or issues or answers to the president, not once.
That's a very good idea, Mr. President.
Of course.
It keeps you...
You know something? You know what it does? It keeps me cool in your hat. At this Supreme Court.
Sure.
They know it's true. They know it's true. And I think that there is nothing that disturbs them more than the thing that I don't pay attention to.
Well, a hell of a lot of them. Write for your attention.
Oh, yeah.
They write something because
well,
they hope you will read it.
As far as I've got any columns are concerned, I read those at all. I mean, all I do is take a quick look through that news sign, you know. I get that in the look article when they get 3 and 7 times. They say, why didn't you watch the evening network TV news again? I said, well,
it's time.
Because it's the worst possible way to find out what's going on.
That's right. So why use my time? I've got the time. So there you go. I agree. I've never seen it.
Then I sympathize with them. This is a very hard job they have. They've got to slap together in a half-hour newscast and with no time to get it thought through.
But these people, you know, I mean, everybody else I know, Connolly, he goes on and he goes and watches this stuff on television. Roger does, Larry does, they got to get home to see the news, so it goes on and on and watch it. Well, everybody's here.
Well, they're in a different position,
yeah.
Too. They don't have the self-confidence that you do. They don't.
But anyway, well, Colley has.
Not so sure. This
not,
is
not, 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 not
he's on a bigger stage than he's been on before.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to worry.
No, he doesn't, but he is sure of it.
Yeah, he's very, very conscious of himself.
Well, I'm unconscious of myself, but the main thing is, I don't want to make them more conscious. Make me more conscious. Those bastards, I know, are the enemy. I know they're out to screw us. I know they're out to get my goat. So I'm not paying any attention to them. And that's it, just cold as ice. I want to know if they write about other things, but when they write about me, screw them. I mean, they can go on and on, they can talk about the rarity of the speeches or this, and I don't give a goddamn what they think. I'm only interested in what the country thinks. Boy, that irritates the shit out of them, you know?
Of course it does, because you're going over their head.
Well, that's also because they're not getting into my gut, which they are, I mean, that's why they write.
You're proving to them that they can't do to you what they did to Johnson.
We know something. Johnson would start really mad if he'd gone through what we have here. I mean,
oh, God.
We talked about what he went through, it was pretty bad. But you know what I mean, in that period of crash, they can't vote.
Nothing.
They can't vote you down. The huge moratorium and the rest, they didn't hear what Johnson was here.
Johnson had 10% of the hostility from the press, maybe 20% of what we did. And the province to cope with. But he was just obsessed with it.
You know, I try to get clients, they would agree to that, they don't, but they have to be prejudiced. I think Ziegler's a little more realistic about it than Klein. Listen, these guys, these dispresses, basically it's and I say the press. Of course you separate off to the view writing press. I mean, you've got a few guys that are okay. The wire services aren't bad usually, you know, they write pretty good because they have to.
Mm-hmm.
They were there every day. When you talk about the general, the columnists, the editorial writers, and the rest, Jesus Christ, I mean, you die if you get that stuff. And if you look at television and see them snicker and whine and simper and raise their eyebrows and so forth. Now, the best thing that I ever did was to get in that NBC crowd and just tell them that they'll never forget that.
No, and every network executive in New York knows that story, just like the back of his head. I started to tell it to Frank Stanton because I wanted to use it as an example. He said, Julian told me all about it in detail. you can be sure they met afterwards and said,
he must have believed that. And the answer is, I sure do. Yeah, every bit of it.
You see, this is the thing, John. They like it, and I think they're against me,
just like they were against McCarthy. But basically, they're much more against me, much more, for a very fundamental reason.
Oh,
they hear me more.
That's exactly right.
Just as they were, just as the old McCarthy days, the press was violent against me. against McCarthy. But their hatred for McCarthy was nothing compared to their hatred for me. And it was always that way. Because they feared me more. Just as cold as that.
Well, they
had never forgotten.
They were able to destroy McCarthy.
And they were able to destroy him. And so they'd come at him, and they didn't come over. And I tell you, it's quite a drill. But a lot of these press guys out there wouldn't like to admit it, but that was the God's truth. I went through it all. You were there. Don't you agree it was true?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. No question of it.
Harrison,
a lot of them admit it. A lot of them will talk honestly about it.
Well, I just don't like this on the bridge. It's fine. The only thing is that, and this is the one agenda, another advantage I think we have, I will grab, which of course I should have. I've got to have been over others too. There is nothing that irritates those bastards more than the feeling that they aren't getting to you.
Yeah.
And there comes Salem True. I paid no damn attention. Yeah. Don't you agree?
Absolutely.
That next year, when I don't go to the gridiron, when I don't go to the White House correspondence, when I don't go to the radio and television correspondence, when I do go to the photographers, and they didn't do that, that must be another little indication. How? Play our games. Personal treatment. Events that we now are in a position where they're, the battle has begun as far as they're concerned. They're out. Huh?
Absolutely.
That's remarkable. They gave them play. They didn't vote to China and the other stories. The reason it was that they were just too big for them not to.
They
would have lost all credibility. That was their problem. Right?
Yeah, they had no choice on either of those. I guess they had a little more choice on the economics than on China, but because they kept that, God, that was a sustain for 2 weeks solid with the networks and the front pages.
Well, it was a breathtaking day, I think, for them, that's all. And fortunately, you know, as it turned out, I think they still had time, the Congress was out of town. It was better to do it that way. It's the old theory that you had, you know, about don't go out when the Congress does. Stay in town.
Stay in town.
Make sure you listen when they're out of town.
When they come back, leave town, go on a trip, screw them the other way.
Take the press with you.
Take the press with you and make the news out of Missoula or something.
Well, we'll take a whack at these people. I'll try that stupid Alec. Get him around here again. He'll whine about some Dan he wants. Should speak more in Colorado.
Oh, he'll tell you about unemployment in Colorado.
Yeah, 3.3. Good story this week. I really don't like to talk.
I think the Lord makes a man already
crazy, so difficult. Yeah, the more loyal those souls simply are, the more they expect that you are. And so they...
And the more they continue to be sure
you're aware of all the problems.
I have to keep telling you.
I know. Well, we must be thankful at least that they're honest.
You know yourself. They are honest, aren't they? We got the crooks running around.
I don't think too many of us would.
I mean, actually, we got a few.